Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. And let us know your need today so we can pray for you on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Maybe something big, maybe something small, but everything's important if it's weighing on your heart. And you may have a praise. Maybe you're celebrating something God has done for you today. We want to share that as well. So let us know so we can pray with you, rejoice with you, and stand with you as your brothers and sisters in Christ. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. Lord, we do thank you this day that we can come before you and bring together all your people, all your children, to pray for one another. That we can gather together, Lord, to support each other in prayer and lift each other up to you, knowing that you are a good and faithful and gracious God. You love us. You care for us. You are ready to meet our every need. And in you, we can find the hope and the help and healing that is necessary. So we thank you. We praise you. We give you all glory this day and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get in the Word of God to give ourselves some spiritual nourishment and get ourselves, our hearts ready for prayer. And this week, we're going to look at least for a couple of days. I don't know if we'll fill the whole week with it. But I found this story, and there's so much in this story that I just thought there's so much for us to learn spiritually from this story. And it's a true story. And I found this in, what's the website? Mentalfloss.com, mentalfloss.com. And the story begins with a gentleman named Nicholas Young. Nicholas Young was a German who emigrated to the United States in 1848. And he worked hard, managed to carve out a nice living for himself. He was the owner of a mortuary in San Francisco. And the business did well enough that he and his wife, Rosina, purchased a small lot on top of California Street Hill, where they built a nice little cottage home, had a nice little garden, and got lots of sun and breeze from the ocean. And it was it was their dream, right? They were living their dream. Unfortunately, someone entered into that dream to turn it into a nightmare. His name was Charles Crocker. Charles Crocker was, as he's described here, a very rich and very petty man who would eventually become Mr. Young's neighbor and also his nemesis. Crocker was in the railroad business. He was with the Big Four Barons behind the building of the Central Pacific Railroad. And by the 1870s, he had become an extremely wealthy man. He's a big guy, 6 foot tall, 300 pounds. He's an imposing figure. And he also lived in San Francisco, and he decided that he wanted to build a magnificent mansion. And he decided he wanted to build that mansion on a hill that had a beautiful view looking out over the ocean in the city. And that perfect place for that was California Street Hill, because it had great views, but it was had proximity to the city's financial districts. And he decided this would be a beautiful spot, if a perfect space, a residential plot, if a cable car could bring residents up and down the hill. So Crocker, being the man that he was, arranged to have one installed, and soon he was buying up homes on the hill. All the homes on the chosen blocks where he wanted to build his house. And by the time he was finished, Crocker had erected a 12,000 square foot mansion. And California Hill was with its new residence. They renamed it. It's now what it is now known as Knob Hill. So he bought up all this land, all these houses, tore them all down, built up his 12,000-foot mansion, and everything was great except one thing. On the northeast corner of the block, there was Nicholas Young in his dream house with his wife, and he didn't want to sell. He did not want to sell. And his little cottage was dwarfed by all the mansions that were going up on the hill, but he liked the neighborhood, and he worked hard to get there, and he didn't want to sell. And it's a bit murky what happened next, but some say Crocker offered Young $6,000 for his slice of the block. Young eventually agreed to sell the land for $12,000. Crocker countered with $9,000. Young declined. Other people say that Young agreed to a $3,000 transaction and then bumped up his price every time Crocker completed. First to $6,000, then to $9,000, finally to $12,000. The latter figure, Crocker finally balked and just walked away from the negotiations. So at the result, Young decided he's not moving. Crocker's not getting his house. Now it's a matter of spite. So Crocker decided to get his revenge. And he built a 40-foot fence surrounding Young's property, blocking all the views, blocking all the sunshine, blocking all those cool California breezes, eventually killing off his garden because his garden couldn't get enough light. And it famously became known as the Spite Fence. Cost him $3,000 to construct this 40-foot-tall fence around his neighbor's house. Now I'm going to finish up the story tomorrow. I'm not going to finish tell you what the outcome of this is. I want to stop here. Because I was reading this story, and there's more that happens, believe me. But it seemed to me just such a perfect example of what happens in our fallen, sinful human nature. And this sin that is at the very beginning is really the root sin of all sin. And that is covetousness. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And so I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I find it interesting that Paul uses the sin of covetousness to talk about, and in this passage he's talking about the law and what the purpose of the law was. And the purpose of the law was to show us that we were sinners. And that's what Paul's point here is. The law says, do not covet. And so a righteous person would say, okay, I need to avoid coveting. He said, but instead what happened is the law said, do not covet. And we all started to look around and say, yeah, covet. You mean, you know what? I never did notice my neighbor's house was so much better than mine. Why did he get a better car than I do? Their wife or husband better looking than mine. What's going on? And instead of turning us away from covetousness, it actually turned us to it. And I find it interesting, he chose the sin of covetousness to highlight this. Because if you think about it, what was the sin in the Garden of Eden? It was coveting, wasn't it? You can be like God. You can be as God. We coveted the qualities of God. Even though we were made in his image and he lavished us with blessing and were fine just the way we were and could never attain what he was. We are meant to be, created to be other than God, just as he is meant to be other than us. But nonetheless, we coveted being God. And it was that coveting that led to the first sin, that led to the downfall of humanity. And it is that coveting that continues to fuel sin in us. Certainly it's not the only sin, but it is one of the base sins, one of those first sins, one of those core sins. And certainly we see it here. Charles Crocker coveting this one little piece of land. He's got a 12,000-foot mansion. Everything's fine. So what if this guy has a little tiny house on a tiny little lot in the corner of where his mansion is? It wasn't diminishing his existence in any way. But he had to have it. He had to have it. And when he couldn't get it, it turned into spite and anger. And eventually a 40-foot spite fence. Now that's not the end of the story or where it all ends. But isn't that indicative of us? We can have so much in our lives, so much that God has given us, and yet what will we focus on? How many times do we focus on that little thing that we don't have that we want, that we covet and desire? And instead of being thankful to God for the multitude of blessings that he's poured out upon us, all we can think about is what I don't have. If only I had this, if only I had that. You know, that's covetous thinking. That's why the Bible talks so much about gratitude and being thankful in our hearts. Because the Bible, God knows that gratitude and thankfulness are keys to guarding our hearts against covetousness. They're keys to guarding our hearts against that weed, that seed of covenant, that weed of covenant, covetousness that will grow up in us. It causes us to, all we can think about is what we don't have, and we desire and we hunger it, and we ignore what we do. We ignore the blessings that we have. We ignore what God has given us. God has given us all blessing upon blessing. Why are we worried about the little things that we don't have? Let's today set our hearts in gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord as a defense against the covetousness that can so easily lead us into one sin upon another. As we'll see in this story, these sins just compound. It begins with covetousness, and then it's spite, and then it's anger, and then just one sin upon another, compounding themselves. Let's be grateful and thankful to the Lord. Not turn to covetousness, but turn to gratitude and thankfulness for what God has given us. Right now, it's Hillsong United. Stay and wait. We'll come back with your prayer requests. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And got a couple prayer requests in that we want to pray for. This writes in, says, my nephew was born yesterday morning. However, his lungs were a bit underdeveloped, so they had to take him via helicopter to a different hospital approximately 3 hours away. He is responding well to treatment. Lord, we want to lift up this young life to you, this young little boy. And Lord, we pray that your hand will be upon him, that you will strengthen and develop those lungs, Lord, that he will have no trouble breathing, that we praise you and thank you. He's responding well to the treatment that he's receiving. And Lord, we pray that you would speed along that development of the lungs and speed along his breathing so that he can go home very soon as you guard and protect this precious young life. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener asking for prayer as they have to have a scan done tomorrow. Lord, we do pray for this listener as they're having to get this scan done tomorrow. We do pray for a good outcome from this. Lord, we pray that whatever they're scanning for, we pray that the news is good. We pray that there's no major problems or complications or issues here. And that, Lord, that we would just receive good news from this. We pray that they not fear, have any fear or anxiety leading up to this. But Lord, that you would replace that fear and anxiety with your perfect peace. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request, you can always email or text us to prayer@yeshome.com. Get that prayer to us, and we'll pray for it on the next Prayer Closet. Or if you need prayer, you know, need more immediate prayer, you can call 419-389-0893. Anytime Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's always folks here who would be happy to pray with you. Or go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the Chat Now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God bless everybody. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been The Prayer Closet. We'll see you tomorrow.